Today's episode, Life Skills. Were you prepared for adulthood? I share the top 10 things people surveyed wished they had learned in school to prepare them for adulthood. Is it school's responsibility? Is it our responsibility to teach our kids? We talk about it in today's podcast, and I share what we've taught our kids and what life skills set us up for adulthood. Hi, I'm your host, Deanna Butcher. Welcome to the podcast. We're talking to real people in real time with real stories that will awaken, illuminate, and transform our lives together. This is The D Word. Hello and welcome, my lovelies, to The D Word. I am your host, Deanna Butcher, and today we are talking about life skills. And this is something that I know I've talked a lot about, you know, with my friends, the girlfriends, we get together and we talk about these things. We certainly tell our kids the importance of these things, and we try to, as a family, teach them life skills. You know, we talked in the past episodes about how our kids have helped us lay flooring and do renovations, and the kids know and they help fix my car and change tires and the oil. And so we're teaching them these life skills. We're teaching them budgeting. And when the family, we're going through some tough times, or when we're going through great times, we share that with them, and we share with them that income, so we feel like they're prepared then for making financial decisions in their future, and they understand this life situations a little better. And of course, it's all age appropriate, but we've included them and treated them that way, so that it just becomes a part of their norm to budget, take care of their vehicles, take care of their home, right? So that they have those skills that are necessary when they go out on their own. And I know myself growing up, I was a farm girl. So I grew up knowing a lot of these things as well myself, right? So it's been amazing. And so actually, even as we say this, as far as life skills, I put out the call to action on our Facebook group at the D Word Productions. So head on over there, because I put out a call to action there for you guys. I want to hear from you ladies, because I know that there's going to be men listening too, but get your girlfriends, your wives to go over there and comment, because my husband, who is a certified journeyman automotive technician, is going to be coming on the podcast with me, and at my request, to put together a podcast with me with some tutorial videos on basic things that women need to know about their vehicles and how to those basic skills, and one for safety, but then also so that they can understand, you know, the basic mechanics behind it, so they can prepare themselves to ask questions to their mechanic or their dealership and not feel like they're being taken advantage of, you know. So there's many situations that we can go through there. Check out that post, because I put up the call to action here. And so take a look at that and pop it in the comments if you have any questions you want my husband to answer. And we will bring you a part of that podcast so that we can work together to make that a killer podcast, which I think is going to be awesome. Because I myself, and you know, like I said, I had a lot of life skill teaching when I was a little kid. My dad was a mechanic, a farmer, a rancher. So I learned a lot. You know, I learned how to weld. I learned all kinds of things when I was my kids' age. So, you know, I have a lot of life skills behind me. And so we kind of wanted to share that, because so many, either you're born in the city or you just weren't mechanically inclined. Like, so I got two mechanics in my family. So I learned and picked up quite a bit. So Jason's going to share that. My husband, Jason, he's going to share those tips and tricks and things, his life skills, in future episodes. So stay tuned for that. Where I've got this article from, where I'm talking about today, the life skills, where I really wanted to dive in deep a little bit with this one. I have this, the D Word magazine, on our platform at thedwordproductions.ca. And when you become a tier member, you get to see all of that. And so right now, we do have a free promotion out right now until December 1st. So you can go and see this content for free when you sign up under the Awaken. It's a free platform there for Awaken. So you don't have to pay for anything, and you can cancel at any time, but it just gives you access to these things. Check it out. And a part of that, when you access it, you'll go to the magazine and you'll get to see this article there. And so you get to elaborate a little bit more. You can check it out and read it. It was an article that I selected for the platform. And it was the metro.co.uk had posted it online. And it was written by Ellen Scott. And the title of that is Budgeting and Mental Health Among Skills We Wish We'd Learned at School. So I kind of wanted to go into this because, yeah, like there's a lot of things like I think I want to wish, like I said, wish I would have paid attention to in regards to, you know, because we learned accounting, like basic accounting. And I use that all the time now. And I actually started doing our taxes myself and started, you know, certainly as I'm my own business owner. And we own rental property as well. So it's important to really make sure you have that. And even basic budgeting skills, it helps you with that. So I'm glad we learned about that. But I never paid it close enough attention. And I really struggled just with numbers in general. I had a little bit of dyslexia in that regard. So, you know, and a little bit, I guess what people would maybe blanket it under now is like an ADD. Just very high functioning, just didn't pay attention, just didn't know how to focus, right? No one really told me to focus. They just told me to sit down and be quiet. But there's a reason I started a podcast is I could talk forever. But I wish I would have paid more attention. And in Canada, specifically Alberta, because I don't know if every province is the same. I would assume it probably is. But back when we were in school, so even in high school, it would have been the late 90s, early 2000s. And we were taught CALM class. It was Career and Life Management, CALM. And in that, you would learn how to look for a job, write a basic resume, make grocery lists and do basic budgeting. And then we also had like a secondary class where you would learn cooking. It was home ec. So you'd learn cooking and sewing. We were taught. And then we also had a shop class. So you learned how to like build things. And there was a welding unit, but we didn't have automotive in our school. So those were some basic life skill training that they did teach. And then we had a program. It was like a work experience thing. I think it did actually have an actual dedication because the government brought it in for us to learn trades. And it allowed us to be able to work while we were in high school and get credits for it. And ultimately, I think you would work for free, but then oftentimes it was an implementation so that when you finished your credits, you had a job, right? So you didn't, it's like an apprenticeship or not an apprenticeship. What do they call that? Oh, I can't think of it off the top of my head, but it's where, you know, you would just go and get work experience and you wouldn't get paid per se, but you get to learn the ropes and get used to the environment, and responsibility would be huge to teach, right? And then when your semester was over and you got your credits for that, then you could just continue to be employed by them and then you could get paid. You could get a wage. So it was a great way to integrate. And certainly like my hubby did it as well when he was in school, because then he started his trade early. So he was able to get all of his credits and then start getting his hours for his journeyman apprenticeship. So, or his apprenticeship to obtain his journeyman automotive. So, you know, it really was able to tune you into a career, right? So we have access to those things. So if you guys have something similar, either in your education program or through your community that's created, either nonprofit, anything like that, actually, I'd love for you guys to share below, because I'm going to have viewers and listeners from all over the world. So if you guys have things like that, whether it's nonprofit or maybe you run these things, you guys have that career and life management skills training, or maybe you are integrating folks into the workforce or whatever you're doing, pop it in the comments below on whatever platform you're listening to, or head over to the dwordproductions.ca, pop it in the form over there, or certainly pop it on our Facebook at dword productions, because I would love to hear from you. Pop it up, let people know that these things are available in your area in case they are searching for them. So I'd love to know that, because the more we can bring an awareness to these tools that we can use, then we're going to be able to help people. So, because I think it's amazing, is in this article, what Ellen Scott goes on to say, she writes, quote, "New research says that 87% of Britons believe school failed to adequately prepare them for life as an adult, saying they weren't taught the life skills they needed before leaving full-time education." Then she goes on to say as well, "The situation seems to be worse for younger people, as while 26% of people age 65 and older felt they were taught all the life skills they needed, that figure falls to 8% among the 18 to 24 year old age group." Yeah. And then she says, no wonder we don't feel like adults until we're 26. So, end quote. Yeah, like it's crazy, like how and then what we would, I guess, deem as life skills. I know, like I had mentioned, like we learned like workforce integration, like we were bred to work, right? But you know, certainly in our small community, it's a farming community, and then it's heavy industry and construction in Alberta. So from the time you're 7, 8, 9, you're used to working hard already. And then by the time you're employable, you have enough skills already. And certainly, as it mentioned, I think it would probably be pretty comparative where they said before 65% or 26% of people aged 65 and older felt they were taught all the life skills they needed. And I think that would be very similar because, you know, I would think back then they would have taught them, you know, the math, the reading, certainly that they needed. You know, they didn't have to learn the computers. They didn't have to learn all the technical things that we use in our daily life now, right? So they had more time to spend on their economics and mathematics and certainly history. But then, even when you think about that, and in my own community, and maybe you can attest to this as well in your community, that generation, like my parents and older, they dropped out of school really early to farm and to work in the family business and do things like that. So I don't know in an entrepreneurial set where there are farms and there are heavy industry, how the numbers would, and I'd like to actually look into that now that I'm seeing that, because I'd like to look into seeing what that would be statistically in Canada or even in my own province of Alberta to see like what percentage of people, one, even finished school because they could get work right away. Like they were looking for workers. It was like we were integrated, right? For you just get junior high and then out of high school. High school was important, I think, still to most folks, but you know, there were a lot of people in my parents' generation that did drop out of school to work on the farm or to help family, right? And certainly when you think about like that late 70s and even the 80s when the economy was difficult for farmers and for folks. So, you know, you had to get all hands on deck, right? And that was kind of that energy. And certainly in that situation, I would feel like there were many elderly folks then, like even my grandparents' generation, to say, look, helping the family is more important right now than education. Because I know that was always a hot topic growing up, and not just with my family, but in general, that what were we actually learning in school? And maybe, you know, look at these statistics. I mean, maybe that's part of it, is that what we are learning in school has little to no future function. Maybe that's another discussion to have, right? Like, what are the kids learning now, and are they skills that are adequate for the future? And I think when it comes to looking to see now at what my kids are learning about, you know, as I said, they're 6 and 9, so they're grade 5 and grade 2. So, you know, my oldest, he's certainly absorbed quite a bit, and they're learning a lot about economics and other cultures. And you know, us being even in Northern Alberta, we have, you know, and in Alberta in general, well, in Canada, I guess too, certainly. But we have an array of folks from all cultures, which I didn't have growing up either. So you only knew what your community taught you, right? Ultimately. And then certainly if you stayed in that community and didn't venture out outside of that, you really didn't have access to what was going on around the world around you. And even saying that, you know, yeah, the new watching the news and listening to the radio were somewhat important. But I mean, if you're working in the field, or you've got cattle, or you've got a family business, or you're in the oil field, you don't have time to watch those things. So even how much of that are you actually absorbing? So you're so focused on your skill and your career and your job that you don't really realize, I suppose. But yeah, like, and then staying like with the blinders on in your lane, right? So how much are you really wanting to explore and learn about the world around you? So I think they're really driven as young kids now to learn about other cultures and life skills. Like my son, when he was in grade 4, they taught, I don't know exactly what they called the program, but it was like an economics class, an economy class, and they each had jobs. And my son, because he has a tendency to be bossy, they found it fit for him to be on peace patrol, which they called it. And it was, you know, kind of like peace officers for the playground. And so he had like this little backpack with a first aid kit and all this other stuff. So he'd be like a first responder, right? So he had these things, and he could had a little whistle, I think. And so, I mean, he had a job. And so there would be other jobs too. they had bankers and all kinds of things, right? But life skill kind of things. And they were each get a paycheck that they would have a little written deposit of how much money they had in their little account that, you know, it'd be all fake money, of course. And they get their little paychecks and then they'd have to rent. And they rented their desks, which was hilarious because Lucas said, he's like, you know, I need to make sure I keep my desk because if I don't make enough money to keep my desk, I'll be homeless. And I'm like, well, what happens if you're homeless? If you're homeless, and he says, we our desks are removed, they're cleared out, and we sit on the floor. And I was like, well, that's kind of funny because it shows you really like the importance of taking care of your desk, right? You got to take care of your home, you got to keep it clean because you had to keep it clean or they could get evicted, right? So it was so cool. Like it had a really great premise behind it. You know, they had to take care of themselves and they had to take care of others and they had their community and then they'd set up markets so they could use the little money that they earned to share their skills. So they would sell their skills. So my son, he liked to draw. And so here they're really into like Roblox and Freaky Freddy or whatever he's called. And you know, superheroes and all that kind of stuff. So the Avengers, he draws the Avengers. He would draw and put them on these slips of paper and he would sell his drawings. And, you know, so other kids were selling cookies if they liked to bake because one girl had a bakery, you know. So they created entrepreneurship and then also community in saying, I have this money, I'm going to support my community and we're going to watch it grow. Because when I have money, I spend it to help somebody else and then they spend it to help me. Like it was a community environment and it was really cool. And they did that program all year long and they could do different trades. Like they could go around and try different things. And so I think it's really cool to see what they're learning. So I don't know if that's just like our area, if it's just in our county, or if that's something that other schools in Alberta are learning too. But you know, I think it's really cool, like what my kids are learning in school. And I love to see that. And even as they're getting older, like they do have, and even aside from the teachings we've given them, they do have a heightened sense of awareness, I think more than I would have had when I was that age. You know, the kids here, it's very relatable and teaching and they make it fun. And I think it's pretty cool because I like seeing the questions that they have. And the first and foremost, they take care of the things that are important and then they have fun afterward, right? So it's cool. And so coming back as well, because I kind of wanted to touch on this, like what Ellen Scott had mentioned in her article in the Metro News, there were 10 things. So she says the top life skills people said they wish they were taught in school. So see if you can kind of get your mind going and think to yourself, like, what do you think? One, what do you think? But then also, what do you think was the most important out of the people that were surveyed? What do you think were the top life skills and do they surprise you? So me looking at this, this is a pretty solid list. So I probably wouldn't change anything that these top 10 skills do. I think I would add more to it because I think there's probably more than 10. But we'll go through them and then I'll share with you the ones that I think I would add. The top life skills people said they wish they were taught in schools. And again, this is an article in the Metro News by Ellen Scott. So the top 10. So number 10. Online safety and data protection is something that was important that they wish they were had taught in school. Our kids certainly do learn that. They have a program in their community class that teaches them about bullying and online safety and things like that. But yeah, I think the data protection is probably a really big one, right? Like how much information are we actually giving out when we sign up for surveys and we sign up for stuff and free shit and Facebook and platforms, right? Like how much information we're giving away and how much can people actually see? And not only that, what are they doing with it, right? So I think that is a good point. Number 9, effective communication. And that's huge. Relationships are greatly affected. And I think even if you're going to think about the effective communication, you can say, yeah, we're going to learn how to communicate with our peers at the school level. Then we're going to learn how to communicate in the work environment. But I also think that to get married even, because we got married young. We were 21 when we got married. And for the most part, we're pretty good at communicating. But if there were problems, we weren't communicating at all. Like, you know, so we technically get along well. And certainly now, but like if there were problems we had when we were young, right? Communication was certainly key. And it was just that we just maybe didn't. And it was like an assumption everybody's good, right? And didn't handle stress very well. And that I think that to get married, you should even kind of go through a counseling to get married where you learn how to talk to each other. You learn about the other person. You learn about how to deal with your own shit you're bringing to the table before you create this union, right? Doing financial planning as well. And whether you amalgamate finances or not, I think that it's a good idea to understand each other's financial situation like that. Not just effective communication, but truth and honesty in communication too would be key, right? So I agree with that. Number 9 is pretty big. Number 8, how our political system works. Absolutely. And understanding the statistics and not getting, and this is my biggest, like what grinds my gears. Cause I did that segment already or episode, and it's going to be a segment. And I may or may not talk about the political platform because I don't really want to get things too political, but yeah, how our political system works, but not just on a social media platform. Like people need to actually go out, watch the system, look at the people, the platforms, what they're actually doing, what they're working on, where their money's actually going, what promises were made, what they've actually been able to accomplish. Because the things that we're seeing in our system, and I can only imagine what it's like in the States as well, because we get like a very weird version, likely skewed as well, of what's going on in American politics. And then certainly in Canadian politics, you know, Eastern Canada gets very different political propaganda than what we get out here in Alberta. And it's very adamant and it's truthful on how it works. And when you look around the world, certainly in the UK, and I'd love for you folks as well, because I have some followers there. It shows me at least on the statistics where the downloads come from. And I've got a nice little following there in the UK. So shout out to you guys. You know, certainly they're experiencing a lot of political disruption there as well. So, you know, again, how much of that do we actually see out here in the Western world, right? So we need to come together and look at reliable news sources and look at what we're reading, and not just by someone who created a political meme on Facebook, but actually go into it and see, well, are there facts that back this up? And I think you got to come at the world like that, whether it's politics or not. Like you got to come and look, and even looking at life skills, you got to look at the details and the reality of it, not just go by that all you learn in school and in looking to relate it to this, you know, whatever we learn at school is the only thing we're going to learn in our adulthood. Or if we don't learn it at school, it's not important, right? So you got to take that into consideration and do what's best for you and your family. Number 7, how to buy a house. Yes. Oh my God. That's a whole other podcast. And it even like boils my ass a little bit, because buying a house was a nightmare in both situations for us. Like in both times we bought a house, it was a nightmare. And so, yes, we need to learn how to buy a house. I'll probably, actually, that might not be such a bad idea to do a podcast on the experience and so that you guys ask questions, because certainly now in the economic problems that everybody's having, housing is a big thing and getting a mortgage is a huge thing. And people don't understand the difficulty of buying a house, or even once you buy one, that what that means for the rest of likely most of your adult life. And not to just make a quick or rash decision on buying a house, because what it means long term, and really any big ticket items, I'd say, hey, like, you know, even getting into debt, like what debt means, what big ticket items can do to you, how much you depreciate, what the market actually is, you know, not just saying how our political system works, that number 8 was important, or number 7, how to buy a house. It's what is the economy behind the housing market? What is the market for that purchase? And what can you look at long term? 6, cooking and nutrition certainly is very, very important. And I think, you know, I think my parents' generation and older, certainly cooking down pat, right? I mean, we even had that, like I said before, you know, we had that cooking class, like it taught cooking and sewing. But I'm sure they would still do it, but I don't know what the seriousness behind it actually is. And then learning about nutrition is important as well. I don't know. As I even look at my own peers, like there's fewer women, well, and men, I'm not just pointing out women either, but fewer of us actually cook, let alone know how to. You know, even my hubby and I kind of talk about that. And it's like, well, I know I'm solid because he's never going to find another one to cook as well as I do. So, seeing like the rarity nowadays of cooking and skills, not to say that the younger ladies or even ladies my age that don't cook or don't know how. I mean, I think a lot of that comes to as well. Like I was a horrible cook when I started on my own, you know, 17 when I lived on my own. So I was a horrible cook, right? But it took practice and learning, right? And playing with food and doing that. So, I mean, you know, I think in that regard, cooking and nutrition also could be geared towards, you know, your own economic financial situation, right? Like, and like, so I wanted to do that series on cooking on a budget and eating healthy on a budget, not just free access to food, right? Because it is different for recipes and different foods because you want to make sure that you can buy the best of what you can afford nutrition wise, right? So we're going to look into that. But yeah, cooking, I think, and as we've certainly, and as families, you know, we work longer, we work harder, we're more dedicated to our careers. So we don't have time to cook a lot of the time. So it has to be a priority that's written in. So yes, cooking and nutrition, I'm actually surprised it's actually number 6 and not closer to one of the topper priorities. So even that being that low on the list, I think is even in itself interesting because people wouldn't care more about other things than they do even about cooking and nutrition, which is funny because as we get to the number 1, like, you know, that relates more to finances, it's like, well, our finances would be better if we cooked from home, right? So, you know, there's things that we can advocate for on these things too later on. Number 5 was taxes and living expenses. So important. Number 4, mental health awareness. Yeah, I'm actually surprised it's even number 4. I would have liked to have seen that maybe at least number 2 or 3. Like at least number 2 because I think that's so important. And you know, and I think my kids are blessed in that way because they have a great school system, you know, with no bullying, no kid left behind in that way. So that part of it is really good because, you know, the no kid left behind, it allows other kids to see that one, we're not all on the same level, and two, they become very compassionate towards others. Then you still have that, you know, that kid hierarchy. And certainly my oldest son sees that with the kids, you know, in grade 5, right? You know, he's kind of floating in the middle somewhere when it comes to popularity. So he's not overtly popular, but yet he's not being bullied. So, you know, and I say bullied loosely because bullying was very different when we were kids. Like it was abusive when we were kids if you were getting bullied. And now it just seems to be, you know, playground rules, right? Like, so I mean, there's still that need for the hierarchy in kids, right? So, and I think that is important. Mental health awareness in schools. Actually, there was another article that I posted as well on the platform, and it was about teens tell us what they think about mental health days in school. And it was an article published by idvice.com. And so I've shared that in the D Word magazine there as well. And that was an interesting read too, because it talked about how these kids were advocates for mental health days for school and giving them three or four days for every 2 or 3 months, something like that, to where they could take a mental health day, and that it was helping their situation and overall awareness in their school. And so take a look at that. And even we could probably do another podcast on that in the future too, because it was a good read. Number 3, DIY skills. Yeah, absolutely. Like we talked about that already. And that's something that I want to do on the D Word in the additional content, because you can't always do those things over the radio. So yeah, so I agree with number 3. I think it's really important to know how to do things yourself. Or at least at the very least know how it's ran and how it works, right? Know how and why things work, even if you're not very skilled or handy, at least understand it. Number two, how to handle money. And then number one is very similar. Like, it's pretty much the same thing. So number two is how to handle money, and one is how to budget money. So yeah, I mean, those are really important skills that I think that could go beyond accounting class. I think we do need to have kids understand the full economy, not just their own family economy, and then open up the discussion to have with their parents and with their families to say, hey, this is what we're learning about in school. I want to make this relatable. Can you explain to me what our family situation is? And I think families need to share that information more with their kids at age appropriate levels, of course. But I know that for our family, it has improved dramatically the relationship my kids have with money, the way that they do and don't ask for things, the way that they appreciate things when they do get them. Yeah, I mean, I think it's good. And so it's kind of even good too, like, how many of those things do you already know, and how great do you feel for knowing them, and, you know, that you're pretty balanced and on track. And I think it's great. And I mean, even for some of those things where, like they said, number seven, how to buy a house, I think it's even just as important to say how to rent a house. What are your responsibilities? And even adding to those things, like, we're going to be talking about this in the next podcast in a way, it's going to be called Awaken, but we talk about, you know, our food and our consumerist goods and where they come from and how sustaining it is for the environment. And, you know, so knowing where our food comes from, I think, is important. Knowing how we need to prepare it is important, because I think a lot of people are getting sick from the food we eat. We don't know how to process it, not only just processing it as in, you know, packing it, storing it, canning it, you know, preserving it and cooking it, but then also like digesting it, processing, literal digestion. Like, we're eating shit that our bodies weren't built to eat, right? So like, it's becoming more aware so that we can fix the things like our mental health and save money and, you know, and be healthier long term, right? So yeah, I mean, I think that those are the things that are great to learn about. And that was kind of one of the things that I said, you know, I kind of jotted down. It's like, yeah, like where our food comes from, and appreciative of the resources that are there in place in ethically sourced ways, and what kinds of things we can do to improve, right? Life skills. It's like, not just that we have these things, but where are we getting them from? And are they sustaining? So constantly being aware of not just the political system, but the world system in all areas, not just political, I think is also important. And it helps you figure out who you are and where you fit in the world, which is also, you know, there are many great things that can occur when we begin to look at skills and life skills and say, well, these are my life skills. What can I offer the world, right? Because I mean, when we think about how entrepreneurs are born, you want to do what you love, and those are the things that we love are the things that we're the best at. So looking at your life skills, what do you have to offer? And if that helps you get some extra cash on the side to help the family, or to save for that vacation you want, or to buy the things you want, or it helps you to grow your business, right? Look at your skills. What is it that you have to offer, and start there? And there's so many great things that we can do when we look at just life skills, because we can read an article about it and say, yeah, I wish I would have learned that in school. But what are we going to do about it? Pop it in the comments below. What are some life skills you wished you'd learned in school? What programs did you have in place in school that were so instrumental in picking your career or in managing your life? What courses did you take on after that that you have now obtained now that you're an adult? I'd love to hear from you. So pop it in the comments below on your platform, or reach out to us through thedwordproductions.ca, on Facebook at The D Word Productions, on Twitter at _thedword_, or on Instagram at The D Word Productions. So thank you guys so very much for tuning in today. Love and appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you so much. If you haven't already, hit subscribe. Set yourself up for downloads so you don't miss out on the next podcast. And we're going to see you soon as we continue to awaken, illuminate, and transform our lives together.